Podcasting from baseball heaven, St. Louis, Missouri, home to float trips, gooey butter cake, and the Gateway Arch. This is the Navigate the Rapids podcast, where you find out how to effectively run and market your business. And now, here's your host, Will Hanke.
Hey everyone, Will Hanke here from Red Canoe Media. Thanks for joining us today. I want to jump right in and talk to my guest today. His name's Russ Henneberry. Russ and I have been friends for quite some time now, and pretty excited to have him on here today. So Russ is the editorial director at Digital Marketer. He's worked on digital marketing projects for companies like Crazy Egg, Salesforce, and Network Solutions. Russ, good to have you.
Good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming. So we've been friends for many years now. For those that don't know, Russ just called me one day and said, "Hey, let's go do lunch." We went and had lunch, and been friends for quite a while. So Russ does a lot with content marketing. He knows a ton about content marketing. Russ, tell me about your time at Crazy Egg first.
Well, Crazy Egg is a company that you can't really call it a startup. At this point, it's pretty mature company now. They are a heat mapping software company, so they create software. You essentially install that script on your page, and it shows you where people are clicking and scrolling around, and so they came to me with a project to start a blog. And Neil Patel is the owner of this company, and it's actually him and his brother-in-law's name's Heaton Shaw. And so it's kind of a family-run operation, and they brought me into the family, so to speak, to take this blog and take it from zero and see what I could do with it. And it was a fantastic experience. I mean, if you don't know who Neil Patel is, he's a very smart marketer in general, but particularly smart content marketer. He's always pushing the envelope with new content ideas, and new things to do to drive traffic with content and especially SEO. And so it was a fantastic experience working for those guys. And I think
there's a lot of people that don't realize. I'm talking about business owners that don't realize. How awesome a heat map can be for your business. And it's a really cool tool that not a lot of people know about. So after Crazy Egg, you went over to Salesforce, and I know that you took their blog and really kind of built it up in a short amount of time. What were some of the major things that you guys had to overcome there? I know that that's a pretty big company, so...
Well, you know, the major thing we had to overcome over at Salesforce... As a content team, I mean, it wasn't just me. There was a whole team of people working on this project. But
right. The
biggest thing was that, you know, Salesforce is a company that's about selling, and they are about real in the trenches, in the conference rooms, you know, out at the bar, smoozing customers, selling. I mean, and that, you know, content marketing was just something that they didn't do very well. At the top of the funnel. So when we talk about content, we talk about three different types of content. You know, we talk about top of funnel content. We call it tofu. And there's middle of funnel content. We call it mofu.
Nice.
And then there's bottom of funnel content, which is bofu. Now, Salesforce does mofu and bofu better than anybody on the earth that I have ever seen. In other words, you know, think about the funnel in terms of how people progress through the decision to buy something or to sign up for something, and that is awareness, interest, evaluation, purchase, right? So they start out at awareness, you know, so they become aware of something, they get interested, they evaluate, and then they buy. And then there's things that go on after that, of course. But, the content that we had at our disposal at Salesforce in the middle of the funnel, in other words, in the evaluation stage, in the close stage, was unbelievable. And that's because they're so focused on selling, which is important, right? In fact, my time at Salesforce convinced me that of the power of MoFu and BoFu content. You know, that you need, and so let me give you some examples of what we had at our disposal at Salesforce. So in the middle of the funnel, we had things like customer success stories, vast amounts of testimonials, case studies, things like that, things that help somebody decide during the evaluation stage whether or not they're going to move on and buy. So that middle of funnel content, in fact, if you are, you know, kind of new to content marketing, you might think of content marketing as being, you know, running a blog, for example. But most of the time, that blog is a tofu type of content. You're looking to drive awareness and interest in what you do and your products and services at the top of the funnel with a blog. But you'll actually, if you don't have any sort of middle of funnel or bottom of funnel content, I would start there. Because it's actually easier to put together. You can take a customer that you have and write up a quick case study. Now, just to give you an idea, at Salesforce, we had a customer success story for every vertical. We had slide decks that were built for every vertical and every situation. So what is the problem? So, for example, Salesforce does a lot of things, not just sales CRM. They also do things like customer service, so they have desk.com. They do email marketing now that they own ExactTarget. So this is a mammoth company. So no matter what the customer's problem was and who the competitors were that we were up against, we had case studies and slide decks. And when I say slide decks, I mean these are the presentation decks that our sales guys would walk into a room and say, okay, I'm up against Oracle. And the problem here is that they are having trouble with productivity from their sales team. And so there would be a deck that would be built to defeat Oracle on that issue. You know, because Oracle's better than Salesforce for some things, and it's not as good as Salesforce for other things.
Sure.
And this is true, and no matter what you're doing, you have competitors that you're up against, and look for your strengths and write up, you know, create case studies, create customer success stories, and put those into PDF form and make those available for customers that are looking to, that are in that evaluation stage. I mean, there's a blog like we were running over at blogs.salesforce.com that, you know, we took that blog from, you know, it was getting about 100,000 uniques a month, which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but not, I mean, one of the craziest days of my life was opening up the analytics, because they hired me also to do analytics on this site, was getting access to Salesforce.com analytics.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just incredible how much traffic the site's getting. Millions of visits a day. You know,
it's probably pretty overwhelming, I would assume.
Yeah, it took me a while to sort through all those analytics, but you know, the blog was just getting collateral visits just because it was in the navigation. So many people visited that site of 100,000. We started creating better content, and I can tell you, you know, what we did there. But you know, I think one of the biggest lessons I learned from Salesforce.com was MoFu BoFu. Start there, actually, you know. Or at least make sure you filled that gap. Make sure you have things. And that's kind of, you know, a lot of what you're doing, a lot of what you do with your meetup, Will, where you meet up with people in person and do presentations. You know, Michael Port wrote a book called The Book Yourself Solid. And one of the things I remember so much from that book was that he said you should always have some place to invite people to. You know, if you should always have somewhere to invite people to see you speak and to see you demonstrate your expertise. And that's one of the things that your meetup does for you, and it helps at that BoFu MoFu stage. I mean, I'm sure you do it a lot of times because you like to speak and you like to see everybody and you like to teach and help people, and that certainly comes through when you talk. But have you ever, Will, have you ever had a possible client and then invited them to the meetup and then closed that client because they saw, you know, they saw your expertise. I know that happened to me a lot when I used to run a meetup.
Oh, yeah. That's it's a great selling tool without selling, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. You stand up there and you display your expertise. They see you in action. They see you talking to other people. You demonstrate in social proof, right? You walk in the door and everybody's like, hey, Will, we can't wait to hear you talk. And your possible client is sitting there looking around and going, well, look at all these smart business people that know who Will is. Come listen to Will speak. Tremendous social proof there. And that's a type of middle and bottom of funnel content. Even though you're kind of talking and talking about things that are more in the awareness interest stage, you know that there's a couple people out there in the crowd who are in the evaluation stage. They're evaluating Red Canoe Media, they're evaluating your services and things like that. So anyway, this is a long answer to your question, but
it's all right. Yeah. So now you're over at Digital Marketer, and you told me a while back something that's always stuck with me ever since you told me, and that was that you don't have a traffic problem. And this is something you kind of started saying after you've been working at Digital Marketer. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that and how I'm assuming that means tofu, top of the funnel, not to pay so much attention with, you know, as you've been saying, but that that middle content area that most business owners don't pay attention to, you know, and how, what, just explain to me what that means.
Yeah, well, you know, it actually, the concept of it started at Salesforce, where I realized how Salesforce does things. You know, they don't worry about generating website traffic. They just go out and buy it. You know, they don't worry about getting eyeballs on an offer. They just go out and force eyeballs on an offer by cutting a check. So,
which is something a big company can get away with.
Of course. but then when I got to Digital Marketer, it even drove the nail in even further to me that there is no such thing as a website traffic problem. There is plenty of traffic out there. You know, there's, you know, ridiculous amounts of traffic. There's, just to name the obvious, you know, there's Google, who would love to send you traffic through AdWords. There is Facebook that would love to send you traffic through Facebook ads. There's LinkedIn ads, Twitter ads. There's, you know, there's very, very good SEO people like yourself that want to send people more traffic if they would just, but it costs money. Like, SEO isn't free, right? Like, you're either going to spend your time doing it or you're going to pay a guy like Will to do it for you.
Right.
And so the thing is that free traffic sucks. You know, like, if you sit around and think about, well, how am I going to get some more free traffic today? That's the wrong answer or the wrong question. The right question is, how am I going to create an offer that makes it so it makes sense for me to just buy the traffic and get it in front of people so that I can make some money? You know, so what we do all day long over at Digital Marketer, what they did at Salesforce, what Neil's doing over at Kissmetrics is we create great stuff, whether it's an offer or whether it's a piece of tofu content or mofu content or whatever, and then we put it in front of the right people and we force it there by paying for it. And that drives quick results. Like, you are going to see, you could take $50 right now and put up a page that has an offer on it. Let's just say it's a $100 consultation. You could take $50, go into Facebook, and in 30 minutes from now, you could have traffic on that page. Like, you could go onto your real-time analytics in Google and watch traffic start coming into that page. And we can talk more about this, but if you want, but Facebook right now, Facebook traffic is, like, Facebook, since they've gone public, has really handed the reins over to marketers to, and, you know, if you use Facebook, we know everything that you're doing, unless you've opted out, of course, you know. And this is not a discussion about whether or not that's right or wrong, or the security, and the, forget about that. What I'm telling you is that as a marketer, you can go in and target people at a ridiculously laser-focused level these days.
Yeah, so they bought some they've partnered up with a couple data sources that that let you target some pretty specific things beyond the demographics of male or female and income. You can go deeply now.
It is ridiculously crazy. And there's other things like, you know, creating custom audiences out of email lists and creating custom audiences out of people that have visited your website. So, and we can talk more tactically about things if you want, or we can stay a little bit more philosophical or a little bit more high level. It doesn't matter to me. But my point when I say you don't have a traffic problem is that you can put traffic on that offer. You can put traffic on a page. You know, hire an SEO guy, pay for ads, you know, pay, you know, get out there and get the traffic by paying for it, because what you need to be doing is creating offers and selling things, you know. And so that's kind of, you know, that what Digital Marketer is it's a testing company. I don't think Ryan Dice would like that characterization maybe, but that's the way I think about it, is that we do a lot of lab testing of different things, and we roll it out to the various divisions of our company, which is they're in all kinds of different spaces selling all kinds of different things, and it all hinges on you know, creating offers that allow you to make enough money that you can buy the traffic that you need.
Yeah, so since we're kind of focusing on small business owners, and you mentioned taking $50 and doing some ads, obviously there's a little work in getting those ads set up correctly so that, you know, you're showing it to the right demographics. But, you know, they can watch that traffic come in live, and once somebody's on the landing page, let's talk a little bit about some of the testing that Digital Marketer does. So I know that you guys don't just put out a page, throw a bunch of money at driving traffic to it, and just say, well, that didn't work. What do you guys do beyond that?
Well, let's just say you're going to take $50. Like, let's think of an example company. So if there's anything that you want me to talk specifically about, because it's always better to talk specifics.
Yeah, so let's talk about a business that sells a product. You know, we'll just call them Blue Widgets, but you know, everybody that's watching can kind of plug their product in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I could. I've been learning some pretty crazy stuff about Amazon lately from a guy named Ezra Firestone who did a course with us that I could get into too, but. Let's talk about what you would do with that $50. Depending on what you're doing, if you're selling Blue Widgets, you're selling services, you're selling information, no matter what you're doing, what I don't recommend that you do, like earlier I talked about, let's say you have a $99 consultation, I would not drive cold traffic to a $99 offer. Okay, and so what I mean by that is, if you've got a $99 offer, or $100 offer, or $300 offer, or $500 offer, it's fine. Take that out to your list. Like, if you've got people that you're already, you know, that already know who you are, no matter what size it is, you know, it's 100 people, it's 50 people, it's 300, it's 3,000, take that kind of an offer to your list. But when you're trying to generate, When you're using cold traffic, in other words, these people don't know who you are, right? They didn't know you from Adam. The best thing to do is to drive them into something called a lead magnet. So a lead magnet is simply a specific, and I'm going to stress the word specific, chunk of value that you trade with someone in exchange for their contact information. And you've seen them all over the place. They're the free reports and the free mind maps and free videos and audios, free courses. Sometimes people create interactive quizzes to drive leads. But you need to, you know, one place to start is if you started with $50 and a lead magnet, you'd be in pretty good shape. You know, you'd spend your $50 and you could say, okay, I spent $50 on, let's just say it's Facebook ads, and I was driving clicks for 50 cents a piece, and I got 20 new leads. Well, you can pretty easily throw that in a spreadsheet and figure out what your cost per acquisition is, which is how much is a lead costing me. And your cost per acquisition is going to go down based on one thing. Based on two things. One would be, how good is your offer? And two is, how targeted was your traffic? So if you can learn to master those two things, like, how do I create something that somebody wants and give it away to them for free in exchange for their contact information? And let's go back to this idea of specificity, because specificity is so important. Like, what we see in our testing is across all verticals and everywhere is a couple things. One is, you want the lead magnet to basically solve one big problem and be consumable within 5-10 minutes. Because what we see a lot and what we've tried is, let me drive cold traffic onto a page and say, okay, get your free 14-day course on SEO, right? Or get your free 14-day, let's just say if you're selling widgets, and that widget is playground equipment. Okay. So you use a piece of information like, you want to create something very, very, very specific, not like, okay, read this ebook on how to create a safe environment for your kids to play that's 80 pages long. That's not going to convert very well, because although you might get a lot of takers, the first thing they're going to do is be like, okay, now I got to read this big old book. You know? Most people are not going to consume that. You know, my hard drive is littered with ebooks I've never read.
Yeah.
Especially when they're free. So instead, you want to look at the one big problem that you can solve and pull just that piece out, and that is enough to get a lead. So it might be, in this situation, it might be, you know, what's the one... Sorry, my screen went a little wonky on me there. Did you lose me?
No, I see you.
What's the one big thing that I could tell somebody about playground equipment, or about SEO, or about productivity if I'm a productivity coach, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, what's the one big thing I could pull out of there? And, you know, where we saw this first was, there was a guy named Eben Pagan. He put out a course called Double Your Dating.
Okay.
And Double Your Dating did millions of dollars in sales. Okay. It's a course on how to meet women, basically. Okay. And Eben put out this lead magnet called the Kiss Test.
Right.
And the kiss test, all it is it's two paragraphs. And it's two paragraphs that tell you how to know when a girl is ready to be kissed, when a woman wants to be kissed, and when she doesn't, you know, which may be more important to some people. And this thing converted like gangbusters. And the thing is that it was the one thing. You know, he could have put out, and in fact tested putting out, you know, an entire module of the course as a free giveaway. You know, we see this all the time. People give away free chapters to their book, or they give away, you know, a 30-day course that's going to be delivered over 30 days, or, you know, whatever it is. And the thing is that they don't want all that. You know, it's can you tell them specifically one thing that you can do to get them closer to what they want? You know, whatever problem it is that to try and solve.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, it'll convert much better than trying to convince them that you're going to get all of this stuff for free. You know, let me give you all this stuff free. No, just tell me the one thing. So if it's the playground equipment, here's the one most dangerous thing hiding in your playground that could harm your children, right? And it's like, you know, maybe it's something with the swing, or I don't know because I'm not in that space, but you get what I'm saying. Like, what is the one thing? So specifics are really important, and when we test big deliverables versus very small, specific, consumable deliverables, they do much better.
Yeah. So the reason that you're doing something around this one small thing is to get an email address or some sort of contact information, but typically an email address. So now you have somebody who is...
Webinar sign up, maybe.
Yeah.
So
now you have somebody who has raised their hand and said, I'm somewhat interested in what you're talking about or whatever it is you're selling or promoting. So once you have them in that, I guess you would call it a funnel, once you have them in there, then you can start delivering content and start selling in maybe a non-threatening kind of way. Is that how Digital Marketer kind of handles things?
Well, I mean, certainly once someone even visits your page today, you can start marketing to them, even if they don't give you their contact information. And one of the things a lot of people are not taking advantage of is things like retargeting and remarketing, where, you know, right now what we're doing in every market is we drive traffic out of Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, or through email, like by buying into people's email lists and things like that. We get the traffic onto the page, and we drop a cookie on their machine and their browser. Once that cookie's there, they're going to start seeing ads, and they're going to start getting remarketed.
Okay.
If they take the lead magnet and opt in, then we have their email address as well. And, yes, we start the content marketing process. A lot of tofu content sprinkled in with some middle of funnel and bottom of funnel stuff as well. If we start to see people that we can segment out that are moving deeper into the sales cycle. But a lot of times this MoFu, BoFu content is just something that you would literally email to somebody that you met at a conference. And they're like, you know what, I'm pretty interested in that. It's like, well, let me get your card. I'll send you a case study or a testimony, you know, or a customer success story or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, once you've harvested your email address, they're going to be start to receive follow-up from, you know, whatever the offer's, you know, whatever the offer's about. That there's going to be content that's around that, that's in the awareness and interest stage. There's going to be stuff that we'll also have in for the evaluation and purchase stages.
And most of the content that you create or that you deliver in those stages is 100% helpful and not salesy, I guess is the easy way to say it. It's more just kind of establishing you guys as the expert in whatever that industry is.
A lot of it is, but we also mix in a lot of just direct offers. You know, it's just like, boom, here's something that we want you to buy. Go buy this. And and it's, you know, click on this link and go over to the sales page and read the argument that we make that you should buy this. And but yeah, I mean, if you are not mixing in content that I would call top of funnel, you're gonna burn those people out immediately. You know,
right?
And that's why it pays. You know, that's why it pays to have some. The person creating, you know, whoever's in charge of creating content, handling organic social media and things like that, needs to be someone that genuinely cares about the community, you know,
right,
and takes care of that community so that it doesn't just turn into a big pitch fest, you know. So, oh, I got a drove a lead. Now I'm just going to keep pounding you with offers until you unsubscribe or die, you know.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, what it needs to be is, you know, this person came in, and that's why content is so important at the top of the funnel, to create interesting, entertaining, valuable, you know, information that someone is going to receive because you do need to be mixing in offers, and that's because you're in business. You're in business to make offers. You know, that we can't pretend we're not. You know.
Yeah. So you guys deliver content, like you said. You guys do multiple versions of content. So not everything is here's a blog that we need you to go read. I know that Ryan sometimes does videos. And, you know, so you guys are, for a small business owner, it's important to understand that you have to deliver content in the way that people want to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think a lot of business owners kind of miss. Let me ask you this. What is one thing, and maybe you may have just answered this question, what is one thing that you guys see that business owners, or that you personally see that business owners are doing wrong?
Well, I mean, a lot of them aren't making offers. I mean, you know, they're not using, you know, the thing is that, you know, 5 years ago, I was in the same boat. You know, I've worked as a marketer that is afraid to ask for an order for a long time. And you can't be that way. You have to make offers. And it's, you know, what you need to start with is your product. You know, do you have a good, solid product? Like, I was talking to a guy the other day. He's just miserable. He's a friend of mine from high school. And I said, how's your job going? And he's like, I just hate it. And it's like, why? And he's like, because I am selling something that sucks.
Oh, no.
And, you know, we've all probably been in various forms of that where it's like, what I'm trying to get you to buy is not that good.
Yeah.
Really. So, you know, start there. If you're able, and once you're able to say, like, I've got a good product at a good price, this is a good value, then why are you hesitating to offer that thing? And why are you hesitating to build a machine that would be as powerful and potent as it possibly could to get that product or service and those many people that need it, you know, into their hands?
Right.
So, you know, there's still this, there probably always will be this icky feeling that people get when they hear the word selling. And as long as it's done honestly and it's done in a way, and it's done to sell products that you're proud of, you know, it took me a long time to realize Zig Ziglar's famous saying, you can get wherever you want to be in your life if you help enough other people get where they want to be.
Right.
For a long time, I just figured that was just about being, I didn't think about it, I guess, but when I read it one other time when I was, and I started thinking, you know what he really means by that is that selling really is about getting people where they want to be. You know, when you sell somebody SEO services, or you sell them a widget, or you sell them whatever, it's because you're trying, as the salesperson, you need to be working them towards getting where they want to be. What problem do they want to solve? How do they want their life to improve or change or whatever? And what Zig meant by that, I think, is, in my opinion, selling is about getting people where they want to be.
Right.
You know? And, you know, that to get into the more tactical side of selling, especially through words and online, you know, as far back as like whatever 1880 or whatever, the Robert Collier letter book was written, where Robert Collier, one of the main points in the Robert Collier letter book is that you cannot convince people to buy stuff. You need to figure out what they want and then enter that conversation in their mind while they're having it. It's much easier to sell somebody something when they already know that they want it. Mm-hmm. And then it is, I mean, they may not know what the solution is, but they're already having the conversation in their mind about whatever it is. And what you want to do as a marketer is find those people and then enter that conversation that's going on already. And then, as Zig says, get them where they want to be. you know? Yeah. So it's like, I've got this thing that's going to make you feel healthier, all right? So unless you say you've got this thing, and you need to find people that don't feel healthy, and they're having that. Now, so let's say they're having a skin rash issue, and it's all over their face, okay? What conversation's going on in their mind? They're embarrassed, right? They feel like it's hurting their chances of maybe getting work and job. You need to enter that conversation. They don't feel attractive, right, anymore. You need to enter that conversation with your selling, and you need to have a product that can help them, and then, as Zig says, get them where they want to be.
Yeah, and with the advent of the internet, getting injecting yourself into that conversation is pretty darn easy nowadays. Yep. I mean, you know, people are going to Google and Yahoo and typing in that here is a symptom, or here mm-hmm. is a situation, or here is a problem, and they're looking for those results. So, you know, getting in front of them in those different ways. And even on Facebook, you know, you mentioned Facebook. People are putting their problems out there, you know, and you can market to those people in even that kind of way.
But, well, I mean, the best thing to do would be to look. Okay, so who has ever? I want to put an ad in front of anybody that has ever clicked the like button on a Neutrogena page, or a Proactive, page, and I want to market it to. I want to market it to women, and I want them to be between the ages of 25 and 34, because I'm going to talk to them about this particular XYZ issue. Maybe it's finding a husband. Okay, so one of the conversations that might be going on in a young lady's mind that's got skin issues on her face or whatever is that she's having trouble meeting men, and she's feeling like she needs to get married. Of course, she's getting at that age. Have that conversation about that and use your ads and your landing pages to make that argument, and then run it to that specific person and watch what happens. It will work. And the reason it works is because you're talking about something they're already talking about. And you're and then you're going like this. Here's the solution, right? And I use this beauty because it's an easy one. It's an easy example. But it's true everywhere, right? What if I'm going to target a specific type of company for SEO, right? I want to give them SEO services. You know, one of the things I remember when I used to do some SEO stuff was that people would get so mad when their competitors would outrank them for stuff. That's a conversation sure. going on in people's minds. You know, are you furious because, you know, the jackass down the street has got a better ranking for you on your keyword? So anyway, I mean, you know, the biggest mistake I see businesses making is that they don't make offers, and because they feel like it's skeezy to do it. You know, one of the funniest things I hear people say all the time is, oh, well, we get all of our business from word of mouth marketing.
Right.
It's like, I mean, that's a real organic way to grow your business, and certainly a great way. I mean, there's nothing better than referrals, but, you know, I think a lot of people say that because they're like, you know, we don't sell. Like, we don't sell anything. And it's like,
right.
It's a shame that you sell stuff, okay?
Yeah, I get a lot of business owner or business cards from people who, you know, hand me the card and their eyes are down, and they hope you don't ask them any questions. It's rather interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, that's. I mean, do you want to talk about some things that are a little more tactical, or do you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's jump into a couple tactical things, and that's been a terrible amount of time on it. But I think let's talk a little bit more about business owners are already blogging. So let's assume that XYZ business is already putting some blogs out there. What are some other things that they can do that aren't going to blow the budget, but that, you know, some more specific things they can do to drive people towards the bottom of the funnel or an actual sale?
Right. Well, if we want to talk completely organically, I mean, first of all, create a lead magnet. You know, create something specific that you're like, here, take this and give me your email address. And put it everywhere, okay? So put it in your sidebar, put it at the end of the post, put it in the middle of the post if you want, put it on your About Us page, which is surprisingly amount of people will opt in from your About Us page. Put it
in. Totally agree with that one.
You know, think about things like Hello Bar, putting it up there in your Hello Bar. If you've got a, there's a little program called Hello Bar, you can put an opt-in up there. But just get opt-ins. I call this part of the process preparing your house for guests. Okay, so if you've got a site that's not optimized to drive leads, and you want leads, get your house in order. Right, call up somebody that knows how to manipulate WordPress. Okay, so step one, if you're not on WordPress, get on WordPress.
Good start.
Or HubSpot or some CMS that can handle this kind of marketing you need to be doing. And then call somebody up and say, okay, I need to get opt-ins here and here and here and here and here. And here's my login information for AWeber or MailChimp or whatever your CRM or email system is, and prepare your home for traffic. And then, you know, go out there and master one form of traffic generation. One form. I don't care what it is. It could be SEO. It could be pay-per-click advertising on AdWords. It could be Facebook ads. It could be LinkedIn ads. If you're selling really high-end products and services B2B, you can afford to advertise on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very expensive to advertise on, parentheses, okay? It's expensive to advertise on LinkedIn. Cheap to advertise on Facebook or YouTube. I mean, you could start throwing $5 a day at your content. So you write a blog post, you go post it on Facebook, and then you hit this button that says boost post. Okay? And the boost post button just forces the content in front of more people. And you're going to get more traffic. You're going to get more traffic to the site, and then you want to start saying, okay, how many opt-ins am I getting, you know? Right. And so the last step is create email follow-up, you know, so build a simple little autoresponder sequence. Like, you know, using AWeber, you can say, day zero, I got somebody to sign up for my email list. On day one, I want to send them this welcome mail that tells them who I am and what I'm all about. And then day two, I want to send them this next steps thing. So here's the next steps. Like, here's my best content. Here's a link to a free resource on this. And, you know, and so send them something on day two. And then day three, send them an offer.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to – but, you know, what we do and what we see working and teach a digital marketer is send them a low-dollar offer that is incredibly difficult to resist. And the usual way that you make it incredibly difficult to resist is that you sell it at cost. So if it's a product and it costs you $10 to acquire that product, sell it for $10. If it's a service offer that generally would cost, like, let's say it's an audit. You know, it could be an audit, like an audit of your carpet, if you're a carpet cleaner. It could be an audit of your grass, if you're a landscaping company. It could be an audit of your gutters and roof, if you're a roofing company. It could be an audit of your website if you're a website designer. It could be an audit of your email program if you're a productivity person, right? Like, you know, so many people waste so much time in their email. So free audit, go out there and find out what's an audit like that cost, and then just mark it down so low that when your competitor looks at it, they're like, there's no way he could be making money off of that. He cannot be making money selling that for $10 or $5 right. or $20. Yeah. But what you have to realize is that companies that succeed do this all the time. They sell things on the front end at cost or even at a loss in order to acquire customers, because there's nothing more powerful than a buyer's list. There's a total different, like if you go and you have two email lists. One is a list of buyers, one is just a list of opt-ins, people that just took your free stuff. There is nothing, there's not even a close how much more that list, that buyer's list is worth than the lead list. So your goal with that front end offer is to convert as many leads into customers as possible. And we call it a tripwire. You know, we call it a tripwire offer. Sorry, I got it pinged here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, we call this kind of offer a tripwire, and we make that offer. We generally make that offer right after they opt in for a lead magnet. So let's just say we have a lead magnet on. Let's just give you an example. So in the survival and preparedness space, we have a site called Survival Life. And at Survival Life, we drive traffic into either a lead magnet or straight into a tripwire. So the tripwire is a physical product. In this case, it's a little flashlight. All right. So it's a little survival flashlight. The survival flashlight is a little LED light. It's actually a really nice flashlight, and it costs us $5 to acquire it. Or $3.95 to acquire it. We sell it for $3.95. All right. And people are like, you can't just sell that thing for $3.95. You got to sell it for $12.95 like we do. You know, it's like, no, we're going to sell it for $3.95, and we're going to get tons of conversions, because anybody that knows, this is the same flashlight you go over on Amazon and buy for $12.95. We're going to sell it to you for $3.95. We're actually going to take a loss. Like, we're going to lose a buck. On this, or $2, depending on if they order two, we actually don't lose as much money. If they order one, we actually lose like a buck or two on it. And the reason that we do it is because we want to acquire as many buyers as possible, because those buyers are worth something, right? So once they've bought, then we know the lifetime value or even the immediate value of that new customer is worth losing the buck, because we're going to make them more offers later on down the line, and we're going to send them content, and they're going to become part of our community. But you don't want, so that's another reason why your lead magnet needs to be consumable.
Yeah.
So I download a lead magnet that's a 45-page book, and then you ask me to buy a $3.95 flashlight, and it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm reading a book here, man. You know, let me read this book first. And it's like, no, you want the lead magnet to be the least amount of a speed bump, right? Yeah. Give them something very specific that they want for their email address or their phone number and whatever else you want. Ask for as little as possible. If you don't need a phone number, don't ask for it, because you're going to kill your conversion rate when you ask for it. But if you need it, ask for it. And give them something very specific and very valuable in exchange for the contact information. Then make them a low-dollar offer and try to convert as many of those new leads into sales as possible.
Very good. Man, I appreciate you hanging out with us today. Tell me real quick about Digital Marketer and some of the – I know you guys do a lot of tutorials and behind the scenes, you know, explaining all of this stuff in a lot of detail. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, We're, like I said, Digital Marketer is actually a part of a larger company called Idea Incubator. And Idea Incubator has holdings in a lot of different verticals, a lot of different spaces. And we, over at Digital Marketer, we're doing a lot of testing on different strategies. And then we sell that information. You know, so we sell courses, we sell, but there's also a ton of stuff just on the Digital Marketer blog. You can go over there and you could, what I would do is just go to digitalmarketer.com, and then there's three big buttons at the top of digitalmarketer.com. And one says drive more traffic, the other one says boost conversions, the other one says increase engagement. If you click on those, you'll see that you'll see our best content under those circles in those spaces. So for example, boost conversions, you click on that circle, you're going to see our best information on conversions. But you can also, you know, all of the content that is under those circles is evergreen, meaning it doesn't get old very fast.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of timely information that is not under those tabs. It's just on the regular old blog over there. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the boost conversions, and one of the things is 9 lead magnet examples. And one that generated 28,000 subscribers in 45 days. And there's some really good stuff over there. So, I'm always hanging out over there.
We ran this lead magnet that did 28,000 leads in a month and a half. And that lead magnet is in that article.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Unbounce. We wrote it up on Unbounce's site. I mean, that's because we spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in traffic, but we spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in traffic because we know that on the back end of that, we make the thousands and thousands and thousands back and then some, right? There's profit. So,
right.
That's really the big thing is understanding that once you have something in place that you're like, this works, then wouldn't you be crazy not to just run as much qualified traffic, targeted traffic, to that offer as possible?
Yeah.
You know, because you know it works.
If you have a machine that every time you put a dollar in, $1.50 comes out, you know, duh. Ramp it up, right?
It starts with the lead magnet and the tripwire where you're saying, let me just give you this. Give me your contact information. And then let me basically just give you this. But I do want you to put some money. You know, like, take a look at what Amazon's doing over there with the Kindle. You know, the Kindle, you think, like, why is that thing so cheap?
Right.
It's cheap because it's a tripwire.
Yep.
They are going to sell you a lot of stuff on the back end once you have their equipment. So acquiring a customer. Why would AT&T give me a phone for $1? That's crazy, right? This phone sells for $200. Why would they give me a phone for a dollar? They'll give you a phone for a dollar because now they got you in a continuity program for the rest of your life.
Right.
They're gonna have you in there, you know. So if you're using Verizon, yeah, heck yeah. Like, I was watching TV the other day, T-Mobile was like, we'll buy you out of your contract.
Yep, saw those.
It's like, why would they buy me out of my contract? Because they know that it works on the back end. To lose that money works. And, you know, as they work it through the system, the lifetime value works. I'll say one more thing. I know you got to jump off here, buddy, but one more thing is lifetime value is also a mistake. Unless you've got a big old pot of cash that you can just light on fire and hope that the money comes back in the next 12 years, like, you know, that's what investor-backed businesses do. Like, an investor-backed business will go and they'll get $10 million in seed funding, and they will burn, and go negative, and go negative, and go negative, and go negative, and then hopefully the idea is that they're going to come out of it, and on the front end, the investor's going to make their money back, the owners are going to make their money back, everybody that has equity is going to make their money back. If you're not an investor-backed business or you're not bankrolling some, you know, out of your own, you need to be looking at immediate value of your customer. So lifetime value's got its place. Like, you need to be looking at, okay, so if I get If I get this customer, they'll probably buy from me. You know, let's just say you're a real estate agent. When's the next time, you know, let's just say you're like selling mattresses, like I know one of your clients does. How often is somebody going to buy a mattress? You know, every 6-8 years maybe?
Yeah.
So you need to know that your funnel works right now. You know, that the immediate value of the customer, even on things that are relatively, you know, fast to repurchase, you want to know that your funnel works in it and that you're not, you know, that you're not waiting years and years to get your money back. And the good news is that immediate customer value is easier to calculate than lifetime customer value. Like lifetime customer value is like, yeah, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, you know, especially for small businesses, it's like, I don't even know what lifetime, but you know what the immediate customer value is. You know what the immediate value is if you put all this into a spreadsheet and you start running things this way, you know what it means when somebody opts in.
Right.
A lead magnet. And you know what it means to your business when someone buys a tripwire because you know what they do on the back end.
Well, man, I appreciate you jumping on the Hangout today and I'm going to put a bunch of all this stuff in the show notes after we're done here. And I really appreciate your time today, Russ.
Hey, man, it was fun.
Hey, thanks for joining us on today's Navigate the Rapids podcast. Hope you join us next week when our interviewee is Ed Mayuga.